The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
A dose of sex therapy, and it is most definitely not for little ears. And as always, this is, we just want to say, if your kids are in the car, you know, like turn it down or just, sure, look, they won't even know us.
Just turn it down for a minute, yeah.
Yeah.
Today, we're just two guys looking at a woman, asking her to love us. No, not really, but we are thrilled to be talking triplets.
Truples. Oh, you're letting on, you don't know what it is now.
Oh, I never heard of it, no, lad. With sex and relationship therapist Rachel Cook, who was going to tell us all about it. Hello, Rachel, how are you?
How's it going, lads? How are you?
Oh, we can't wait for this segment.
Give us all your questions. Throw them at me.
Straight away, for somebody who doesn't know what a truple is, what is it?
Oh, it's basically where it's three people in a romantic relationship with each other. So it's not the same as a threesome, which you could see as being like a, you know, a sexual interaction that you would have. This is more about having some form of romantic relationship with each other.
And like, is it a big thing these days, or are more people just talking about it than are actually participating?
Oh, do you know, it's hard to say, actually. I think definitely more and more people are doing it, but I also think we've more language around it in a way that there just wasn't before. So people were often involved in sort of non-conventional relationships. You know, some statistics have shown that like roughly about 20% of people in the US, I think is where this study was done, but about 20% of people in the US have been in some sort of non-monogamous situation, which is not the same as cheating, right? You know, that's something else. So yeah, it seems like it's not as uncommon as people think, but also that we have to beware, it doesn't mean that everybody wants to do it either.
Wait, you said 20% of people in America were in some sort of threesome / open relationship type relationship?
That they have been, yeah. So it doesn't mean that they currently are, but they might have been at some point in their life. So that's about a fifth of people, which now you have to, you know, take certain pieces of research with a pinch of salt.
Yeah.
But, you know, it does, it still says that there's probably quite a number of people who
I'll
have
tell you, you wouldn't see that on Nationwide.
No. Maybe soon. Maybe you will soon.
Well, what's the usual gender mix in this? Is it more lads or women?
So, you know, it can be absolutely anyone involved in a throuple. And the term that actually is used by people in the polyamorous community is triad, not throuple. And the reason for that is because it's kind of monogamous thinking that you're a couple and that you're adding someone else in. So this is more about in the polyamorous community, it's more about a mindset that you're two autonomous individuals who are dating each other. And then you might create these new setups with other people. But the classic is a couple consisting of a man and a woman who are seeking a bisexual woman. And that has come under, you know, there's been a lot of sort of flack about that in the media over the last few years, because the couple are often referred to as something called unicorn hunters, which is where the basic.
The unicorn hunter, Christ. We had an alien hunter on here yesterday. It's gone from one extreme to another now.
Well, now you've got unicorn hunters. So that's when a couple, usually a man and a woman, are looking for a woman who is just going to sort of service them sexually, not really get any of the benefits of a relationship, and just sort of have sex with them when they want. So usually it involves a lot of unrealistic expectations. And this is literally why it's called unicorn hunting, because often it's not very fair on the third person, and they can end up getting quite emotionally involved with the couple, but then the couple aren't, you know, aren't giving sort of equal power or aren't being very fair about how the communication goes between the three of them.
Is this, or is there any evidence of this in Ireland, any studies?
Oh my God, there is. There's a thriving, you know, polyamorous community in Ireland, and it's definitely growing. There's more interest. There's Facebook groups. There's quite a lot of people. There's different meetup groups, you know, from the website meetup.com. People who are involved in different, you know, sort of dating apps as well, for sure. So it's definitely not as small as people who aren't involved in the community seem to think it is. But, you know, it's still not exactly the majority of people, for sure.
In the polyamory community, there's a lot more options than just like a truple. Like, can you talk us through some of the ways that they do the deeds?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, you know, even just the terms like open relationship, then we have things like relationship anarchy. So relationship anarchy is where you don't, you know, sort of have this kind of set hierarchy for your relationships, where you might, you know, that you don't necessarily prioritize your romantic or sexual relationships above your friendships or your family relationships. But then there's lots of different terms within this. So you might have your primary partner, which in polyamory terms means like the person who you probably spend the most time with. They might be the person who you live with, although they don't have to be. And then you might have a secondary partner or partners, which will generally be the partners who are more casual. So you could still be very committed to this person. You could be in love with a secondary partner, but your life is less likely to be intertwined with theirs as it is with your primary partners. And Rich, so then we'll have, yeah.
You mentioned one there, relationship anarchy, where other relationships like your friends and family are equally as important as your partner. So is that just like lads who love hanging around with the lads and they want, like, you know, my mate Whacker is equally as important as the missus, you know what I mean? Monday night at home with the wife and kids.
All of them.
Yeah, Tuesday, myself and Tony Grinder are going for a game of snooker. Like, is that what it is?
I mean, that's that you're practicing relationship anarchy, Johnny, for sure.
Well, but is this whole thing not just people who are really mad for the ride?
Oh, I mean, this is, you know, it makes sense. You know, this is one of the main sort of myths that polyamorous people just want to have sex with as many people as possible. And like, for sure, there's going to be some people in the community where, you know, group sex or threesomes are their thing, or they just have a really high sex drive. But it's definitely not the majority of polyamorous people. You know, some polyamorous people only want to have, you know, they'll have their primary partner and a secondary partner, but that it's really not about, you know, or not solely about sex. Then some people in these romantic relationships are asexual and they don't engage in sexual activities at all.
Jeez.
They're more looking for the companionship, the romance, the, you know, the that side of it without it necessarily being sexual. So it's definitely not exclusively about sex.
It all sounds like a bit of crack, Rachel. Is there any downsides to this at all?
Oh, there actually, like, I mean, there are. There are obviously loads of benefits in terms of, you know, just being able to have great fun times with different people. But the downsides are, you know, it's difficult. You have to be really, really good at communication. You have to be really clear on your own needs and your own boundaries. Jealousy obviously is very common. Although I would say to that, you know, jealousy is a feeling. It's a feeling that people have, whether they're monogamous, they're polyamorous, whatever they are, in terms of their relationship style. And, you know, it's normal to feel jealous, but people in polyamorous relationships have to work quite hard to address that and have different ways of sort of managing that, about talking to their partners about it, about managing it within themselves. You know, jealousy is just a human condition. It doesn't, you know, it's not about your relationship style, but you're probably going to be faced with it a bit more.
Rachel, we just got a text in here you got to hear.
Go.
It says, I'm in a triad with my husband. We're 20 years together and our girlfriend for the last year. We are polyfidelitous and it's amazing. I have two best friends, two lovers, one male, one female, and two people who love me. It's not about sharing the love, it's about receiving twice the love. Openness and honesty have been our mantra since day one. None of us had ever done anything like this before, and it happened organically, but we're happier than ever.
Man, how do you organise that then? Like, if you're, it's hard to remember your girlfriend's birthday. No, you're buying presents for two or three people. Do you do Secret Santa?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot in it. Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is one of the other downsides, is you have to be bloody amazing at, you know, getting that calendar out, checking in, making sure that each person feels like they're, you know, getting their needs met, which isn't always possible. So you have to do a lot of negotiation, and there just needs to be a lot of self-awareness and consideration of
Rachel,
the other people.
Can I ask, it was mentioned in the text there, polyfidelitous. Am I pronouncing that even right?
Yeah. So that just basically means that, you know, it's pointing out that, like, being in poly relationships is not the same as cheating, because cheating involves betrayal. But if you have been upfront about what it is that you are, you know, willing to do.
You have to come home and be like, look, you know, I went to Coppers last night and I was with a bird or whatever, or I was with another man. You tell the man it's all forgiven.
Yeah, but you've got it.
No,
we got that wrong, have we?
That's a good point that you said that, Johnny. So it's not. It's that You know, if that's you saying it after the fact, unless that's an agreement you've had beforehand that what you do is that you are, you know, you engage in sexual encounters or romantic, you know, sort of entanglements with other people, unless you've agreed that beforehand, then that would be considered cheating.
Okay.
So you've got to be clear beforehand about what the sort of agreements and boundaries that you have for each other are. For some people, that might be that you want to be able to go and sleep with someone else a few times a year, and you don't tell your partner about it, and your partner agrees that they don't want to know about it.
Okay.
For other people, that will be that you want to know lots of details, that you want to maybe meet each other's partners, that you might even end up getting involved with each other's other.
I can't keep up at this stage. I mean,
you've got to have a strong relationship, though. You've got to, like, imagine that you wouldn't be hurt or shattered that if your partner comes home and is like, "Do you know what? I fancy this one down the road."
Oh, yeah.
Just letting you know. Just putting it all on the table. You know, that's got to be very difficult.
I'm much too vulnerable to be able to deal with that.
I saw you looking at a fella.
Oh,
on telly. I'd
be up the walls.
Change the channel.
I can't even watch Magic Mike with me, missus. I'll be freaking out. Can we ask, like, Rachel, has this always been going on? Or are we as a nation here in Ireland just happy enough that we can talk about these kind of things nowadays?
It's a mix of both, for sure. You know, society has taught us that unless we're fully fulfilled by one person, there must be something wrong. And this puts so much pressure to be everything for each other instead of really sort of negotiating and being more self-aware about what we can and can't do for each other, and recognizing that it's perfectly normal to be attracted to other people. That doesn't mean that you have to choose to be polyamorous. You know, for in some ways, being monogamous can be simpler and easier. But we also know from the statistics that monogamy doesn't work for a lot of people. You know, the divorce rates are still at sort of 50% or so.
Ireland?
Yeah, well, you know, around the world, I suppose, on the whole, we would say that it's like approximately 50%, somewhere between 30% and 60% percent, depending on where you are.
Rachel,
and that's obviously not. Go on.
We have a couple of really quick fire questions. Honestly,
yeah.
We're getting so excited here. I want to ask all these questions. What's compersion?
Compersion is the opposite of jealousy. So compersion is when you actually feel really excited and glad for your partner, that they're having sexy times, that they're falling in love with someone else, that they're having a brilliant time. A bit like you might feel when you hear about your friend who's gone on an amazing holiday and you don't feel jealous because you didn't necessarily want to go on that holiday, but you're just happy for them that they did. So it's the same in relationship terms. That's a great part of polyamory.
And lastly, STIs. If they're doing all this riding, they must are they riddled, or are they just real clever and, you know, use protection like what everyone should do?
It's easy to assume that more partners equals more STI risk, but on the whole, research has suggested that people in non-monogamous relationships are much more likely to take precautions to protect themselves than people in monogamous relationships who cheat on their partners. So, you know, transmitting and contracting STIs really depends on being transparent with your partners, getting regularly tested and using protection. So as long as you and your partners do those things, you should be in the clear. So, you know, absolutely. Yeah.
Rachel.
I'm going for a cup of tea now.
He needs to lie down, Rachel.
Thanks very much for that, Rachel.
No worries.
And best of luck to anyone going to try out the old polyamory, up to polyamory, and, you know,
let us know how you get on.
Each to their own. You can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook. We'll be right back after this.